Welcome to 50 Words for Murder, the podcast where we delve into the stories behind the headlines. I'm your host, Justin, and on today's episode, this was recorded originally on YouTube. We have pulled the audio and repurposed it to the podcast so that you can take it on the go and listen to it at your convenience. If you would like to see these in real time, live, with any of the things that we're showing on the screen, you can go to YouTube and follow me at Justin on TikTok. You can also reach this YouTube channel by going to justinontiktok.com, going underneath my photo on the far right, and you'll see the YouTube link. Enjoy this episode. Hey everyone, hope you guys are having a good night. This wasn't supposed to be up yet, but we have a very interesting episode for you guys tonight. If you've been following me on TikTok or even here on YouTube, you've heard me talking about this story a little bit in the last few days. This has not made any news. It's really quite a challenge when you hear about it, but basically what we're talking about is a little girl, a seven-year-old, a second grader. Teacher had brought her neighbor, an older man, and 65-year-old man, for this pizza party for him to bring the pizza in. And I'm keeping it very high level because we have this girl's mom on and she's going to explain more of the story. But after it was all said and done, they lined up the kids and he went to kiss this little girl, doesn't know her, and she turns her head and he gets her chin. And she felt uncomfortable. And the amazing thing about her is she spoke up bravely, told her mom. She's continuing to speak up, and the school is trying to silence her. So that's who we're going to be talking to tonight. But before we do, as y'all know, we have to go through standard things that we do. So first, as a lot of y'all know, we have the podcast, 50 Words for Murder. It's available anywhere you listen to podcasts. But if you go to justinontiktok.com, the link that's scrolling at the bottom, that'll take you to Spotify. Not all episodes of everything I do end up as podcasts. Tonight's will. So if you guys are not able to watch the whole thing and want to listen to it on the go, in the car, whatever, that's where you'll be able to do so. The next thing I want to talk to you guys about are the books that I have written. I've written two. This one is called Boundaries. This is basically written for two reasons. If you are no contact, limited contact with a family member, this is a way to explain it to your child in a way that's easy for them to understand, that doesn't vilify the person, but then goes on to teaching your child about the importance of boundaries. The next one, and I actually feel this one is incredibly relevant for tonight, surprises are okay, secrets are not. And what this book is designed to do is teach your children to speak up and use their voice when they're not comfortable. So if something happens, they can go tell a trusted adult and know that that trusted adult is there to help them. At the end of it, I put a question to open that dialogue a little bit more with you and your kid and a list of jumping off points so you can have age-appropriate conversations. Now, with that said and without further ado, let me bring on Brittany.
Hi, Justin.
How are you?
I'm okay. It's been, your TikTok blew up and it has been interesting on my side of things.
Yours has blown up as well.
I went from having 600 followers and no TikToks to my phone having 99 plus notifications all day long.
Yeah, that's how I live on a daily.
I don't know how you do it. I have a lot of TikTok aunties behind me, which feels powerful but a little frightening at the same time.
Yeah, it can be.
Yeah. So
first, how's your daughter doing?
She stayed home today. I'm not sure if it was related or not. She we sat down and talked about everything after you and I spoke, and she said she's on board. I told her that she wanted to do the interview, and I was like, for safety reasons, you know, mommy and daddy would prefer you not to. And so she watches your YouTube over and over again, and it just makes her smile. She feels so brave, and she's doing good. You know, when I ask her, does she understand what's happening? She says, yes. We sat down and looked at the yearbook tonight and went over the other girls that were kissed as well, trying to find their names, and she was super helpful. So, I mean, I think in her mind, she's doing cartwheels in the grass and she's living life because I'm really trying to be positive for her and keep her on the good side of it, whereas we're handling the grown-up side of it, I feel like.
Yeah, that's great. It's amazing that she wants to put herself out there and do the interviews. I think you're making the right decision.
Yeah, she does.
the internet is a cruel place, as you know.
Yeah.
And just for the record, I have to give a little props. As you know, I was going to send you a book anyways, but our friend Chris Ann, without even knowing that, purchased a couple last night, and they're on their way to you probably.
She's been amazing. She's messaged me privately and said, you know, can she do anything for me? Can she send the book? She's like, I can post for you if you need me to. And she's been great. This all started because of her. And like I said before, I was like, is this a dream? Like, why did this happen for me? And she says she just likes to help. So thank you so much.
Sometimes it's just meant to be. What happened to her was wrong. And there's a lot of levels as to why it's wrong. And I guess we'll go through and unpack those here in a minute.
Yeah.
But you know, you have everything from the event itself to the way that these people were brought into the school going against the rules, to things that you shared with me that the teacher has done in the past, to the other students and to the school's reaction to it, as well as law enforcement from what you shared with me today.
Yes. Yes.
So I'll tell you what, I will shut up. And if you just want to tell people the story, you know, I'll just
Absolutely. So I spoke with the principal recently and we kind of went through it because he got some feedback from my Facebook post and now the TikToks, because you and a couple other creators are posting, which I'm so thankful for. So on Valentine's Day, my daughter's teacher had sent out a permission slip weeks before stating there was going to be a surprise pizza party. And in the permission slip she sent out, she stated she's a broke teacher, so it was going to be Little Caesars. And we were like, free pizza for them on a school day is going to be the best. And I go to pick her up and I'm so excited. You know, it's Valentine's Day. She had a pizza party and she immediately tells me something uncomfortable happened today. She went to the bathroom and she scrubbed her face and she didn't know what to do. And her and the other girls had talked about it. And she told me that her teacher had allowed in a husband and a wife guest, two veterans that they had previously written letters to but never met. And they donated pizza and colored pencils. And her teacher had them all line up and give them hugs to thank them for the donations. And when my daughter went in to hug him, she thought he was going to kiss her on the lips. So she turned her head and he kissed her on the chin. And she said, Mommy, I felt so uncomfortable. I didn't like it, you know, and I immediately was like, you know, maybe how old is he? And then I said, no, she came to me. Like, I've preached to her since she was a little baby. Like, if something happens, if someone touches you, someone kisses you, your body, your choice, please tell me, I will always have your back. And she told me, and she said the other girls that happened too. So I immediately reached out to the one email that I had for the room parents. And that mom actually did not know anything about the visitor, did not know anything about her daughter, but she spoke to her daughter and it did happen to her. So my husband and I called the school. We set up a meeting and there's been some confusion, I feel like, because we were told the teacher left the classroom. We were told the visitor snuck in. And now all of a sudden there's been cameras and they came in the front office. But I have screenshots from the school board member stating that they were unauthorized visitors in the school and the teacher is now being watched. So moving forward, we have a meeting. My daughter decides to switch classes because they gave her the choice. She said, Mommy, she was mean to a special needs student today. And I just can't be around it anymore. I'm tired of being yelled at. I'm tired of her being mean to my friends. I want to switch classes. And she picked a very nice teacher to switch classes to. We tried to heal and work on this in our home and reiterate your body, your choice. The school has assemblies for this, safe touches. And we tried to go over it with my son and my two-year-old and my daughter. And then last Tuesday at bedtime, she says, Mommy, today I was at a playground and someone asked me why I'm not in Miss Martinez's class anymore. And I said, do you want to hear my story? The friend said, yes. And she told it. And the teacher, another teacher who's friends with this teacher, told her, let's not talk about that. He silenced her. Then when she went to her classroom, her teacher pulled her aside and said, hey, the principal has asked, we don't talk about this. If a friend asks you, you should say the principal says I can't talk about it, your teacher says you can't talk about it, or to laugh it off. And my heart, I cried because I told her she can tell her voice. She can tell her story, use her voice, be strong. I will always have her back. She said, what if I get in trouble? I don't understand. This man has awards. He's a vet. Why did he do something to me that I didn't like? And I told her that she can tell her story and I will have her back 100% of the way. I went to social media. I posted what happened. Since then, I've had two moms from her classroom this year, one from this year, one from last year, reach out to me. And they just knew. They knew it was her. They knew it was this teacher. And the principal called me and he said, he kind of reiterated, like, she can pull a grown-up aside, the counselor or me, but we don't want students to know. So I met Justin. We did a TikTok. You know, the school board member reached out to me. So many supporters and followers have reached out to me, giving me advice. Today, a mom reached out to me that was in the class, her daughter is in the class, and she told me some really heartbreaking news. But she did say that her daughter remembers that day, and when Charlie's face was so, my daughter's face was so red from scrubbing it so hard after this man kissed her on the face. I reached out to the other mom because, a little backtrack, I filed a police report today, but the police officer did not want to file my report. He asked me, like, why are you doing this? What do you think is going to come of it? You know, he then said he spoke to the principal and he said, to sum it up for you, it's no other witnesses came forward, no other students came forward. And it's a he said, she said between a 65-year-old man and your 7-year-old daughter. So I immediately called the mom. I recorded the conversation and she said that no, she reached out to the school. Her daughter was in fact kissed. And she said, I believe the school when they said they were filing a report. She said, I didn't realize I should file a police report because I trusted the school. I don't want any other visitors in there and I don't want this to happen again. So right now I'm frustrated and I'm mad for my daughter and I'm mad for these students because the other mom reached out, you know, with saying that her daughter saw my daughter's face and also some other issues that the teacher has had all year with comments that she said they're inappropriate. So right now we're going to have a meeting on Thursday with the superintendent, the principal, and maybe the teacher. And I did call the police officer back and I left him a voicemail stating, I do have proof. And if I'm able to contact these other parents that obviously weren't contacted or they're not admitting they contacted, I will also do that as well. So that's where we're at right now. They're not letting her tell her story and the school's doing nothing about it. And this teacher, when I made the post in the Franklin Township chat of what happened, she reported my post and she stated that it was lies and that I was harassing her. But like I told you, Justin, I never mentioned her name or the school. Other people found out the school, but I never mentioned her name. So that's really what kind of started the fire, is that she's saying that my daughter's lying and she's definitely not.
So for people to have context, there is a local Facebook group that Brittany is in. And somebody posted anonymously, but when you post anonymously, the administrators can still see who it was. So she reached out to the administrator. It had turned out to, in fact, be the teacher. And the teacher was also reporting and flagging her posts. And that teacher has since been blocked and banned from that group. But I know that this isn't relevant to your daughter, this next thing I'm going to ask, but I think it's relevant for people to understand kind of the teacher that they're dealing with. Would you mind sharing kind of what you shared to me about the Gator Bucks and the lunch?
Yeah. So all year, you know, my daughter has came to me and said, like, her paper would say, great day, fantastic day, such a great helper. But then she would say, Mommy, I had to pay 3 Gator Bucks today. And I'm like, why? Their Gator Bucks are what the kids earn in school when they show the Gator way. And they get to go to the Gator store at the end of each week and purchase whatever prizes there. And that's how they earn income in school. That's how the school teaches them. Well, she kept saying, like, I would raise my hand or talk out a line, or I dropped a piece of paper, fell off my desk, and I had to pay 2 Gator Bucks, or, you know, other examples like that. And she was like, that's what happened. The special needs kid had to pay Gator Bucks for something that he couldn't help that he did. And when I told the principal, I said, you know, one of the issues is the Gator Bucks. Like, we think Charlie, my daughter's having a great day, but then she's paying 10 Gator Bucks in a day, 5 Gator Bucks, 2 Gator Bucks in a day. And he said that is not allowed. That is their source of income. He's teaching these students that money cannot be taken from them, and she's breaking the rules. And actually, the other mom that reached out, that her daughter witnessed what happened, she stated, she sent me screenshots of co several conversations she's had with this teacher of, why are you sending home? It's a great day when there's big be in and you took Gator Bucks. And she would explain it to her why she took them. And she said, well, why are these big behaviors and these issues not being discussed with me, but you're making her pay for them in class? And then another mom, so many moms are reaching out for the same teacher who's still teaching, told me that her son had had him the previous year, and she kept noticing that his bill, his breakfast bill, was doubled every morning, $6 instead of $3. And when she finally asked him one day, he said, oh, my teacher asked me to buy her breakfast this morning. And he did that for about a month. Every single day he bought her breakfast because she asked. And again, this teacher is still teaching, and one of her famous lines that she says to this class is, you guys are so bad, I want to leave you here and go work at Starbucks. Just things like that that shouldn't be said to 7-year-old kids who look up to her as like their school mom.
Yeah, it's bullying is what it is. It's a form of an adult bullying 7-year-olds. And so here's where my frustrations lie, similar to yours. The fact that they were there, the fact that this guy felt that he was okay to invade the space of the girls. And here's something I haven't asked you, so I'll ask here. What about the boys?
Nothing, nothing. I asked the same thing. I said, was it just the girls, or did he kiss everyone? And she said, no, just a couple of the girls, none of the boys, you know. And that's a frustrating thing, was like the principal said there were no witnesses. And I'm like, okay, well, they were un they we didn't give permission for them to come in the school. She didn't tell us when she knew, because if they did the safe visitors check that the officer said they did, you have to fill that out at least a week before you can enter the school. And it's just an email address, a phone number, and what class you go to. That's all it is. And they're still considered unauthorized. She knew a week in advance and she didn't tell us. And the class was probably, you know, wilding out over pizza, Capri Suns, Valentine's Day party. And but yeah, none of the boys were messed with. He
They have.
just chose a few girls.
So did he lie, just for my own education on this, did he line every kid in the class up or just the select girls that he chose?
My daughter said that the teacher had every student line up to hug them, and tell them thank you because they donated pizza and colored pencils. So I guess if you really need a hug, you just got to donate colored pencils to her.
Well, the thing is, I have a problem with that too. And I think a lot of parents would because the days of forced hugs are over.
Yep, I agree. I don't make my kids hug anyone they don't feel comfortable with, because
Same.
we're their safe space, and if they don't feel safe and they don't want to hug you, I'm not going to make them. Why? It's a fight anyways. If you make your kid hug someone they don't want to hug, you're fighting with them anyways because they don't want to do it, and it's just not okay.
Yeah, and it gives them some bodily autonomy. Which you don't want to take away from the either, because that's another one of those things that goes towards grooming. And I kind of feel not that this was going to be a situation where this guy was going to come in and you know, maybe in his mind it was totally innocent, but it doesn't matter because it's not appropriate and it made the students feel uncomfortable.
Yes, it really did.
But it's low-key grooming. Is what I would say. And I think when you couple that with the fact, well, we haven't gotten into this yet, but what you shared with me happened with the meeting with the principal and her reaction to that, which we'll get to in a second. And then the fact that they're continuing to try to silence her on it, then it's like, okay, you had this thing happen to you. You felt violated. You felt that your personal space was invaded. And these adults that are supposed to be here to protect you and looking out for you are telling you to be quiet. And in my mind, it's almost like you're telling this child that she did something wrong. She didn't.
And the officer today was like, she got to switch classes, is that what I'm understanding? And kind of like you mentioned, it's like she did. But I mean, really, what other choice did she have to stay in this classroom and get treated differently? And she changed her whole schedule around. She went from eating at 11 a.m. to eating at 1:10 p.m. And her whole day was uprooted because of something someone else did to her.
Not to mention the friends she lost that she had made all year long to go to another class for 2, 3 months that are left in the school year.
She was bullied pretty hard last year by one little girl, and we kept emailing the teacher, and the teacher's like was like, I split them up in the classroom. And she was in a class this year. There were no bullies. She was excited. She had a good thing going. But I told her, before any of this happened, I was like, I'd ask her every day, something happy, something sad, or something I need to know happened at school today. Every night we go over it. And I told her one day, I said, it sounds to me like your teacher is your bully. Like over the things she would tell me constantly, I'm like, it sounds like you don't have a student bully, but your teacher is a bully. And so we bought my kids these watches that have GPS on them so we can track them. But most importantly, so if she's ever in any trouble or any danger, or her teacher was yelling at her or getting on to her too harshly, that she could reach out to me because I was that scared to send her somewhere before this happened because I just did not trust her that much.
Interesting. That's good that you bought this. I didn't even know those existed. What kind of, I'm curious, and for people listening, what kind of watch did you get?
We went through Verizon. They're little like gizmo watches, and they can send text and calls, and the parents control them on their phones, and you only allow certain users, and they have to be allowed through the parents' phones and through the app. So they have us, and I think there are a couple grandparents on there, but during school they're on silent mode, but they can send us a text message if there's an emergency, and it tracks their GPS and stuff like that. But because of how I felt, field trips and stuff, most importantly, but how I felt, the stories that she would tell me, I was like, we have a secret word that she's supposed to send me if I need to come get her.
I didn't even know that things existed. So that's awesome. And having the word. And by the way, for everybody, you should always have a safe word for your kids. Always. If you don't have one, figure it out tonight.
We go
Know that,
over
hey.
safe words, and then, if they were to get kidnapped or something, screaming, help, this isn't my mom, this isn't my dad. And I probably do it too much, but look what happened. And she knew what to do because of it.
Well, it's unfortunately the reality of the world that we live in. I cover a lot of the cases where, people vanish and disappear. So it's the reality, and giving your kids the tools that they need to not become a victim of that. I'd rather you be overprotective than under. So
Absolutely.
talk about the meeting that you had with the principal when you guys first reached out.
My husband, my daughter, the principal, and the teacher all met, and my daughter stood in front of them. She told them exactly what happened, that this man kissed her on the chin. She felt uncomfortable. I mean, the whole story. She stood there and she got home and she said, Mommy, I was almost in tears. I was so scared to tell the story. The teacher looked at her and was like, are you sure you didn't misunderstand it? And it was cheek to cheek. And she was like, no, he kissed me on my chin. And my husband's furious, but he's waiting. He's playing the long game. He's like listening so that he can respond. And she was like, why didn't you tell me? Why didn't you come to me? And she looked at her dad in the face and said, because I was afraid to, because I know he's your friend and I didn't want you to be mad at me. Because all year long, she would get mad at them and take things out on them and say things to them that were hurtful. And then when the meeting was over, I got an email stating that the meeting was over, how it went. My husband overheard her talking to the principal, like laughing, saying, well, he's such a good guy. He really wants to volunteer at the school. He loves kids. And my husband stated he could just see the principal shaking his head. And he was like, she just doesn't get it. She doesn't get what she did wrong. And she doesn't get that somebody was hurt in the process and that she was a part of the hurt. So I don't think any lessons have been learned here, unfortunately. And I think that she would do it again.
And there's been no disciplinary action against her at this point, correct?
No, she's still, making posts and doing everything. Like this mom that reached out to me was like, I wish my daughter, she gave her daughter the option. It didn't happen to her. This is just behavioral things. And she said that I could share her daughter's story without her name, but she said for one incident, her daughter's dad had passed away recently, and it was his first birthday after passing. And in the classroom, in front of the students, and I asked Charlie, my daughter, this is why she confirmed it. She said, "How did your dad die?" In front of the whole class on her dad's birthday. And so it's just stuff like this, like she doesn't get in trouble. I guess she's like bulletproof. I guess that she just gets away with things.
It's wildly inappropriate. Wildly inappropriate. Like, I wouldn't even ask a grown man, like, why did so and so die even 5 years later? Like, if somebody wants to share that, they can. That's terrible.
Yeah,
So,
she.
you've also had other parents reach out to you with other stories. Do you want to share any of those real quick to kind of, again, I know we're just painting a picture here of this teacher.
The other mom that reached out, I didn't post the name again. I was trying to vent and educate and spread awareness, but I didn't want to endanger my daughter by putting the teacher's name out there because, like I said, on the group, somebody found my address. They knew all about whether I rented or owned or went to private school or this school. And one of the moms reached out and she's like, "I'm going to guess that it's Miss Martinez." And I said, "You're right." And she said that her daughter had her last year and she caused her so much anxiety from how she treated her and saying that she needed, certain attention and to be treated a certain way that her daughter learned nothing, took nothing from it. And she still suffers from, certain things from being in that classroom. And it's just, again, crazy to me. Another mom said that her daughter was, she is of color. And she said, I could share this, that the teacher messaged the mom and said, "I know how to deal with your daughter's talkativeness and busyness because I've worked with urban kids before." And the mom was just, she was hurt. She was like,
Wow.
"Ooh." Like, who says that? That's not okay. How can we, tr how, who, I don't understand how parents trust this teacher. And it's almost like a trauma bond with the students because Charlie, my daughter, I can't, I'm sorry. That's so hard to,
It's okay.
not
It's up
say her
to
name,
you.
but she did like her, but she also would say, she, one day she said, "I asked to hand out papers for her because they each have a certain job in the classroom." And she's like, "I asked to hand out papers because that person was absent, and she yelled at me so hard I cried." But then they want her to like them, and they want her to be nice, and they want her to do the special things that she does. So they all love her and they cheer her on. Like for her birthday, she was like, "It's your beautiful teacher reporting here at school today. Can't wait to see, all my friends and what they brought me," and just stuff like that. So it's like these kids want her to like them so much that they don't know what else to do besides feed into what she wants and what she demands.
So at this point, the school itself has not done anything. I know that you've had a lot of people reaching out. I know that I've put you in touch with somebody who went through, well, I can say it. For those of y'all who remember on TikTok, roughly a year ago, give or take, we were doing a story about a middle school girl who was strip searched because the school felt that she had a vape pen and she didn't. She was a good kid. And it was done without even calling her mom. And so, that went into a battle with the school. This was in Ohio. And so I put Brittany and this mom in touch because unfortunately she's been to this movie before. Not exactly the same, but similar. And, I hope that's been a good resource. But I know that at this point, too, because on the weekend we were talking about when you were on the live on TikTok, some of the people gave you some ideas who to call, like, I forget who they said, like somebody was asking about a board member if they called you back. So have you taken it now above the school itself, and how has that been so far?
So the next meeting that we have, I guess, would be, she's the leader of all the elementary schools. But honestly, when she was asking my husband questions, it was like, obviously she was trying not to give away too much, but it was like talking to him like he's an idiot. And it was like we were giving the answers and we were being honest. And it seemed like she honestly had never heard the story. So I'm not really sure, but we do. The mom was super helpful. She gave me some good questions to ask and some really good advice. And so many people have said to reach out to a lawyer. And I mean, I would say that's not out. That's not a crazy question. It's just of who and when, mainly to protect my daughter. And at the end of the day, I think the number one thing that I want done is I want the teacher gone. I don't want her to hurt any more kids or be given the chance to bring in unauthorized visitors for money, essentially, or hurt another kid or, put down another special needs child, because it's so heartbreaking that these children have to go through this. So, I know another person said to go to the news, and I've had a couple other TikTok creators say that they wanted to reach out. So I guess we're just gonna like, we're trying not to put all of our cards out there and say every move because we don't want the school. Because it seems like the cops, the teacher, and the principal, and the elementary school leader, it seems because they all work in the same building. So it seems like all of them are just sitting there and they're saying, well, we were good to Charlie. We let your daughter switch classes. We were good to her. We're supporting her. But it's like, you did let her switch classes, but you're not letting her be heard. You're not letting her tell her friends at the playground if she wants to tell her friends at the playground that have questions. You're not letting her educate anyone only on your terms. So we're really, we're going to go to this meeting. My hopes are low for what they're going to do. And then after that, we're going to go above and beyond because I really think that this teacher needs to be fired. She should step down. She should. I would hope that she'd be so embarrassed and feel so bad for hurting a 7-year-old, and she would not want to be around kids anymore, especially parents that are hopefully seeing this. And, the next school year, if they see her name on their teacher list saying, I don't want her, like, we don't want her as our teacher.
I think that she seems, based on what you've shared, she is very much about herself. And I don't think she's embarrassed. And I don't think that she thinks she has done anything wrong. Like going back to the student that was buying her breakfast, I can't fathom an
I
adult
know.
woman making a 7-year-old, 8-year-old buy her breakfast. That
I
blows
know
my
every
mind.
day. I know every day. She is very much about herself. Like I said, she sent videos to the parents of your beautiful teacher, her PJs on PJ Day are just selfies of herself. Like, I mean, on her off PJ set, it's just pictures of her, which, if I was like, it's a little weird, but it's my daughter's teacher, so I'm gonna be supportive the best that I can. But yeah, I agree with you. I guess wishful thinking would be that she could just make this easy for my daughter because I hate sending her to that school wondering if she's gonna run into this teacher in the hallway. Or her friend, the other teacher, is going to say something when she's in reading extension in his classroom, and put her down or ruin her shine because she is the most loving. She loves hugs. That's what's sad about this, is that she gives the tightest, most amazing hugs to people that she wants to give them to. So the fact that these people, tried to take that from her and give her a bad, memory of when she gave a hug, it hurts. And I just wish and hope and, putting it out there that she either gets fired or she just quits.
Well, she's probably not going to quit, as one of my longtime followers on here said, would you give up your income? And she's probably not going to, without a fight. But, if she wants to work at Starbucks, we can try to help make that a reality for her.
I mean, we could send her an application and see if she qualifies.
Mean, I would do it. That sounds fun. Chris would do it. She'd probably drop it off.
Yeah, I've actually sent her several Starbucks gift cards because, like I said, I knew from the beginning of the school year that she was the teacher that she wanted you to buy things because back to school night, she's showing certain families her wish list, and she sends it out every week, numerous times a week, and then every winter they have a freshen up the classrooms. When kids come back to school, and most teachers ask for hand sanitizer and markers, and she added to her list. Like, her list was so much longer than the other teachers. So, you never know.
No, you don't ever know. Well, I'm glad that your daughter's in good spirits, all things considered. I'm guessing all of this happening is probably giving her a sense of power and showing what, you know, her voice can do, which is what we want. We want kids to know that their feelings are valid. You know, if something happens, their trusted adults are going to be there for them and try to make things better. I did see the text, obviously, that you sent me earlier, that it looks like Tizient is going to pick up the story, and his stuff always does well. Yeah. So, and I actually sent him a message on Insta to kind of say if he wanted to talk to you. I don't know if you're in touch with him or not, but.
No, my friend, another friend of mine from a very small town in Missouri posted a TikTok, and I guess he liked it or I don't know. And she was like, he followed me back, and I messaged him, and he's going to do a video on it. And I was just like, I think my palms were sweating, because I was like, first Justin, who had so many followers, and I never could dream of her voice being this loud. And I'm so happy. I hope that other kids like see this, or their parents see this, and they, because another mom that was very mean to me in the group chat, she's the one that found my address, and I finally just killed her with kindness. And I said, you know, I'm sorry that me not posting the school hurt your feelings. I'm sorry that I wanted to protect my daughter. You could have messaged me and we could have talked about it like worried moms, but I am so sorry. And she said, no, you actually opened up some important conversations that me, my daughter, my husband needed to have. So thank you so much.
So what's the next steps at this point that you're able to talk about?
You know, really the meeting, we're not hopeful that anything's going to come of it, but the next step is to get in front of them and ask them, you know, since they're saying that no one came forward, that Charlie was the only, it's her word against this man's. That's what they're saying. Inconclusive investigation is what the police officer said to me. And from the law's point of view, you know, sure, fine. But from the school's point of view, I know and I have proof that somebody else came forward. So if they're not punishing this teacher because it's Charlie's, her word versus, you know, teacher versus student, which is wild to me, because why would a kid lie? You know, why would they make it up? She tells on herself. She tells on herself every single day. Oh, mommy, today I forgot. Is this math homework that I got to turn in? I accidentally did. You know, she tells on herself. She doesn't know how to lie. She's so honest. And so I want to go to the meeting. I want to tell them, show them the proof if they need to see it. And if the proof of the little girl who saw her face afterwards, that it was red from being scratched by the paper towels. And the next step would be for them to hear her and understand and remove the teacher.
So if the meeting goes, and you might not be at this point yet, but if the meeting goes as you feel it's going to go, is that when you're going to start really basically taking it to like DEFCON 5 and getting to local news? And
yeah, that's what everyone keeps stating. I didn't see it. I was like, her story is important, but to a news person who's, you know, chasing stories and wanting the juiciest gossip, you know, is it going to be a big deal? But I feel like the teacher stating that a 7-year-old is a liar and we're harassing her, I feel like she's making it a big deal. She's picking a fight with people who were trying so hard to heal within their home. But yeah.
Well, even if the news doesn't pick it up, I mean, to be very candid, as social media creators, we have more viewers than they do anyways.
And that this past couple of days has been a whirlwind for my brain. I'm like, what is happening? Well, I'm so lucky to have met you and excited and thankful that people want to hear her story. I mean, I only saw like one bad comment on my post, and it was just someone, probably her, to be honest with you, stating like, don't you want to hear both sides of the story? I mean, sure, let's get the male on and say, hey, did you kiss her? Because she said you did. Let's get the teacher on. Why are you saying she didn't kiss it? Like, he didn't kiss her. Why are you saying she's lying? Because they have nothing to say.
Yeah. It's victim blaming, victim shaming a 7-year-old is a special kind of shitty.
It really is. She's a shitty person. That's me and several other moms that currently have her or had her in the past. Pretty much shitty person. That's what sums her up.
Have y'all considered, I know you've talked to a few of the other moms in the class. You've talked to moms or parents that have had her before about possibly taking a petition to the principal, to the board?
I have not, but that is a good idea because, I mean, I said before, what can change? Because I do know she's not coming back to the current school. She, like I think I had mentioned before, she's getting moved to the new school. And that principal has been so nice. We actually had a meet and greet with her on accident. And my kids were too shy to even look at her. They were like, they locked up. And so she reached out to me saying, you know, I would love to meet them under better grounds, like when they're more comfortable. I'm like, well, she seems caring. Should I just, you know, send all the documentation that I have to her and let her decide whether she keeps her or not?
Well, what I would probably do if it were me, and mm-hmm. you're not me, but I'll tell you what I would do if I was in your position. I would reach out to all the parents that you've talked to, the ones that have reached out to you and shared their stories. The one of the other girls in the class, the one of the child, the little boy that was forced to buy her lunch, the ones who she's taking Gator Bucks from, which could be everybody in the class.
It is everybody in the class.
Okay. So everybody in the class, and the parents can say that the mom that basically the mom who, you know, person of color who she's like, I know how to teach urban kids or don't know how to talk to her. That's blatant racism. So I would have all of these stories, put it on her desk and say, is this what you want? Oh, and by the way, these are all the social media creators, the news stories that are bringing more and more light of this. Do you want this at your new school?
Yeah, that's a good idea because this is supposed to be a new state-of-the-art, like bright and shiny school for the district. So I'm hoping that she would see that, and I feel like she would. But again, I don't personally know her. She just had a good first impression on me. But yeah, that's probably what I'll end up doing, just screenshotting, printing out everything, going to the parents, and then I will, you know, show her everything I have and say, hey, because we actually got moved to the new school. Like, we got rezoned because there's too many kids in all of our schools. So,
I mean, new schools are great, so that's exciting.
Yeah.
But you don't want to teach her like there, like that there.
Especially with my son moving into her grade, you know, and what we've seen the past several years is they like to move siblings to the same teachers. So that can't, because every year he's had the same teacher as my daughter. And it's like, no, we can't have that next year. I'm trying to be kind and professional. I'm not trying to, you know, end out in the streets.
Here's something that I'll share with you. And this is kind of for people who are like, well, why, you know, are we going at it this way? And this is a story I've not shared with you yet. This is a personal story. Obviously what happened here was incredibly wrong to your daughter, for a multitude of reasons. When I was in second grade specifically, I am very ADHD. And I was born in 1982 in the early 80s, mid 80s. ADHD was not understood. It was still very new. Mm-hmm. And so my second grade teacher's way of handling me was to get a bunch of carpet squares, put me in the very back of the room, turn my desk around, and have everything in a milk crate separate from the rest of the class. So I couldn't be disruptive. I couldn't have a messy desk. Because, you know, the elementary school desks, I don't know if they still are, but mm-hmm. they have the cubbies in them. And that has stuck with me forever. I think it helped set the stage for a lot of the rest of that career. And that teacher became part of the Board of Education for her later years of life.
That's crazy. How does that happen?
So I have a thing because I know as an adult, the impact of a bad teacher, a bad elementary school teacher can have on you. Yeah. And for the rest of your career. And I'll even share this. I had a first grade teacher make me stand up in front of the room and literally eat a sheet of paper.
Ew. What's wrong with people? And that thing, like stuff like that, was got away with every single day then, and now it seems like it's just escalating.
No, in the 80s they could, there were no rules, so they
Yeah.
couldn't get away with it. But that's kind of why, being an advocate for, because I would imagine that most people in here, most people watching this, have had a teacher, you probably have too, that sticks
Yeah.
out in your head as like, this is a bad teacher. And unfortunately, the bad ones can outweigh the good ones.
Yep, I just told a story about that today. I shared, but our school was so small that I grew up in. And honestly, this teacher, I remember the teacher doing something bad to another student and then he was gone. Like he just disappeared. I didn't know what happened, but I did have a couple bad teachers, but as I got older and I definitely found my voice, some of my bad teachers came in high school and I was, the bad kid that stood up to them. And so my daughter's so much better than me. She's so much better than me in every single way. And when I told you she's going to change the world, I really do believe that.
Well, she's already got a pretty good head on her shoulders, and she's only 7.
Yeah.
So,
She wants to be president, so you never know.
nobody wants that job. She doesn't really want to be president. What else that have I not asked you that you might want to tell anybody is, or did we get everything?
I think we got everything. I mean, it's like I know there are more, obviously all the stories you're covering and all the sadness that's out there in the world. So I'm hoping that this story, her story, will help other people just find a voice and spread awareness, whether it's to, safe touches and safe, consent, or it's to little kids having a voice or getting crappy teachers out of the schools that don't deserve to be there. So I really think that was everything. And I, like, again, thank you so much for touching on this story, especially with everything you have going on right now and all your posts.
It's okay. There's always stuff going on. But well, a couple things I do want to share with you. One is I might end up putting another mom in touch with you and Chris now that you're going through this. I don't know if you heard or saw the thing that happened in Franklin, Kentucky.
I did. Yeah, I saw on your
That mom.
TikTok.
So she's going to be on tomorrow.
Oh,
And for those
wow.
of y'all who don't know what that's about, real quick, and y'all want to watch tomorrow, and I will create the event so you guys can register for it. But basically, in Franklin, Kentucky, there was a little girl, well, 14-year-old. She's got autism. And today she got brutally beaten with a
That's so
metal
sad.
tumbler. And I mean, there's a lot with this too. Apparently, the police are treating it as a misdemeanor that they're not going to even be any arrest, no criminal charges, nothing for that. Girl was 2 years older than her. Apparently, there was never an interaction between the two other than this girl sitting on the bus making fun of her for having autism, calling her the R word because she has autism. And so, yeah. So she might need support of moms that are going through having to fight the school districts
Yeah.
also.
Yeah, that is so terrifying.
I know it is. It's terrifying. I mean, honestly, the girl is lucky that it wasn't worse because
Yeah.
a metal tumbler, I mean, it could have killed her.
Yeah.
So,
That's, I mean, and how painful and scary is that? I'm sure, I don't know the situation, but like someone coming up from behind you and hitting on the head, I mean, that's not okay.
no, it's not. The other thing, and this is more mostly positive. So the other night, was it, or yesterday or the day before, I can't remember. We did an interview with a woman by the name of Christy Krings, who is the CEO of Rachel's Challenge. I don't know if you saw any of that, but Rachel's Challenge was born after Columbine. Rachel Scott was the very first victim killed at Columbine. And so her dad created a foundation, and the goal of the foundation is to end bullying. And I would imagine that would go for the teachers as well.
Yeah.
And, in violence in the schools and things like that. And you as a parent can go on and sign up for that for the school, and they work to get in the school. And
Yeah.
I had people come
Awesome.
in to the comments. One of my mutuals on here, he said that they came into his school and it was just an amazing program. And they've actually stopped
at least that they know of, 9 school shootings through this program.
Oh, wow.
But a whole lot of bullying was stopped. A whole lot of suicides were stopped because of this program and these kids coming together the way they do it. It's a very unique approach. So I'm telling you that in case you want to, you know, sign up for it and maybe get it into the new school next year might be a good way.
Yes, absolutely. That's one of my biggest fears is that this happened. They're telling her that, you know, it didn't happen, essentially, her word versus theirs. And then she gets sad because I know a couple people that I've lost to suicide that were really close to me at a young age because they were so happy and bubbly, but on the inside they were sad. And one thing I noticed about her is that she does keep in things sometimes. Like, she's afraid to hurt people's feelings, or she's afraid to let down a teacher, or she's afraid to upset them. So it is a big issue. And I would love, you know, I tried to set up with a counselor and she wasn't ready to talk to her because it was the school counselor who helps her brother, you know, with some school bullying. So that is definitely something I think the new school needs.
Well, you got to think she's got a teacher that's turning her into a people pleaser and making her afraid.
Yeah.
To go against. That's part of the issue. I think somebody actually said that in the comments, that you have a teacher that's basically teaching her to be a people pleaser and not to speak up.
Yeah, absolutely. So that would be a great connection to reach out to them and see what they could do for the school. Because I mean, there's so much bullying. Kids these days are just, they're like fast forward bullying. Like, it's not like when I was a kid and it was like, you're ugly, or, and they say it and it's done. It's now posted everywhere or sent everywhere, or it's just intensified.
The thing that was different between these kids today and us is when we were bullied, we would go home and that was it.
Yeah.
During the summer, you didn't deal with your bullies. Mm-mm. But now when you have the internet and 24/7 connection, one thing that Krista was saying when we had her on was that during the pandemic, cyberbullying went way up. Mm-hmm. And even though the pandemic is over and we're all back to school and life is back to, you know, the new normal, that number didn't drop. So now they still have that same high level of cyberbullying, but then they're doing it in person too. So these kids can't get away with it. And now I'm sure you've seen, it's terrifying to have a kid this day and age, but you know, now you've seen all these things about these middle school students that are doing deep fake AI naked images of the girls and passing them around the school. It's, you know, and that's, you know, when you're already dealing with body issues and puberty and stuff like that.
Yeah.
It's just another.
I will share with you. So I know a defense attorney, I'm sorry, but she defends pedophiles. She is actually, I don't know her personally. She spoke at my mom's group and she was coming in to tell us what to look for in your children's gaming and, you know, things that they do on their phones and stuff. And she said that the only app that is 100% foolproof that they can't crack through is the Bark app. So it's a software app that you download on your kids' phones and stuff. And that is the only app that has not been cracked or not been, you know, they've not taken over, and it is 100% safe. So it's just a good information to have out there for parents that have, you know, kids with cell phones or teenagers playing video games and stuff. The Bark app is the only app that she would recommend.
I've heard a lot of good things about the Bark app.
Yeah. I mean, I don't have it personally yet because my kids don't have phones. They have watches that we monitor on an app. But just speaking on that, on the bullying and stuff like that, it just made me think of, like, she did say that she's seen some pretty terrible stuff. And she was like, you need to get the Bark app when your kids get cell phones. So.
Yeah, I would agree with that. And I bring up the bullying thing and Rachel's challenge with that too, because this teacher's a bully. And it sounds like her friends are a bully. And so this is a way to help the kids overcome it. And maybe the teacher will realize, I mean, maybe not, but, you know.
Yeah, I hope so. I hope that I don't ever want to see her again. That's for sure. Just want to just go work at Starbucks, maybe in another town, and I won't ever get coffee from there.
It sounds like a plan.
Yeah. They're opening a Dunkin' here, so.
Well, Dunkins are just consistently inconsistent, so.
You know, what do you do? But do I want her giving me my venti hot coffee, or will I just drink a random blueberry mocha coffee from Dunkin'? I don't know.
Yeah, that's going to be good 50% of the time. But y'all need Dutch Brothers up there, by the way. If you don't have that,
we don't have any good coffee here, really. So
they're taking Nashville by storm. We have them all over the place, but they're amazing. Well, Brittany, I really appreciate you coming on and allowing us to, you know, share your story and bring more awareness to it. And this is not done. We're gonna keep following this, and maybe we'll get to the point where we show you what the teacher looks like, which we didn't do tonight. I thought about doing it, but I was like, maybe not yet. Let's get a little bit further in the game before we do that.
Yeah, my friend Christine, she offered, I told her that you had posted and how thankful I was. And she's like, I can make a video. And she posted the school's whole phone number. And I was like, oh, okay.
Actually, that's a good question. What can people do to help in this situation?
You know, we're hoping that the school being made aware of people hearing how bad this teacher is and hearing facts, not fiction. The facts are the school board member sent me a message saying this visitor was unauthorized. The facts are she let a male kiss several little girls, whether it was on the cheek, chin, or forehead, that they all stated they felt uncomfortable. And the facts are that she is still teaching and she was not reprimanded for it. And although they did state she's being watched, that means a lot of different things to a lot of different people. Like, I'm watching you right now, but that doesn't mean, you know, you're in trouble or I'm thinking anything. So the facts are that she keeps getting away with, in my opinion, verbally abusing children, and she's bullying them in her class. And several moms have stated this. So I don't know. My friend posted and was like, call South Creek and tell them, ask them why she still has a job. But I don't know if that would do anything. Really just having the support, the numbers, you know, people get results in numbers, it seems like.
Do you know the principal's email address?
I do not. I know it's probably his name at South Creek, but I can send it to you.
I'm just saying, if we can tell all these people the address, and they can all send an email saying like, hey, why do you have a teacher that's doing this? And maybe
it's on the school website. I'm on my phone right now, but his name is Patrick Guilfoy. And that is one thing that I asked him. I said, if this were your daughter, because he does have a daughter and he is higher up in a school. And so far, you know, he does accommodate her to switch classes. But I'm like, what would you do? What would he do if he was at a school function and some man that was a friend of this teacher's walked up and just kissed her on the chin or the cheek and was like, so good to see you. He would not be happy. Nobody would.
There you go. If you'd like to send him an email, it's patrick.guilfoy, patrick.guilfoy at ftcsc.org. And if you feel so inclined, the teacher's name is Miss Martinez. Mm-hmm. You can ask why, with all of these things that she's done to these kids, and how she's a bully to these kids, and there's, because it's more than just Brittany's daughter. Mm-hmm. Why does she still have a job?
And the other mom said she went to the principal's office and spoke with him, and he seemed really shocked and concerned at what the teacher was asking, like, how did your dad die? He seemed very concerned, and he probably was, but then what happens after that behind the scenes?
That's probably very emotional for the child, is my guess, because it's probably hard, you know, losing a parent at a young age. I mean, kids are pretty resilient, but it's hard.
Well, my daughter remembered it. I said to, you know, I heard this happen. She goes, yeah, I remember that day. She was really sad. It was her dad's birthday, and he had just, you know, his first one being passed away. And I was like, well, did you ask? She goes, no, Miss Martinez did. So it's just, I just want to know why she keeps getting away with stuff.
Well, let's ask Mr. Guilfoy.
Yeah.
He'll give us an answer.
Yeah.
So for those of y'all, because I know that there's some people watching on TikTok, so they can't maybe see this. but I'll read the address again. It's patrick.guilfoy@ftcsc.org, and that is Patrick spelled normally, .guilfoy@ftcsc.org, and send them an email. And our friend Judy the lawyer said that she's part of a union, so that could be also part of it, the challenge that you're going to have.
Oh, okay.
So she's very good at finding that type of stuff out.
Yeah, that would be great. I reached out to the Bar Association actually today, and they sent me two lawyers, and one hasn't gotten back to me, mainly because I don't want to go into this meeting and get bullied. Like, obviously, the police officer, I personally felt like he was like, why are you doing this? Why can't you just let it go? Or, you know, like, he's friends with all of these people because they work in the same building. I'm like, well, I don't want to show up to this meeting and then treat me like I'm an idiot or like my daughter's story doesn't matter. So I'm hoping I hear back from someone just to kind of get an idea. Like, I'm not trying to win a bunch of money. Like, I really just want to know what I can say, what I can't say, and what they're going to say to me. Like, is it real or is it a lie? Because the police officer stated no one came forward, and I have proof that that is a lie.
Yeah, and I would say this, and you probably already know this, make sure everything's either in writing or you record everything.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
So, well, again, I appreciate you coming on and sharing your story. I am so proud of you and your daughter.
Yeah,
I know you're a stranger on the internet. That doesn't really mean anything for validation, but I mean, it's amazing. Again, there were eight other girls in that class, right, or something that this happened mm-hmm. to, and yours is the only one that has proudly spoken up. And despite the fact that they're trying to keep her quiet, she's still not going to. And she feels empowered, and that's awesome. That's what we want.
Yeah, I'm so proud of her, too. And one quick thing is, like, when someone tells a story that's not true, they typically – you can tell when there's lies or holes in it or it's fabricated. Hers has the exact same thing every single time. And we haven't asked her about it in a while because we were trying to let her have her own time. So yeah, I'm proud of her. And I tell her, like, I've cried at her feet telling her how proud of her I am and how I hope this, you know, just continues with her and how strong she is, because she really is. I mean, she'll help anyone. She will speak up for a friend. Mainly her brother, she'll go to war for him. So yeah, I'm very proud of her.
Well, you've got a good one. Well, I think she needs an investigation. Somebody said possibly administrative leave, which she'd still get paid during that, which I'm sure she would love to not have to go to work and make some money.
She'd want to sit at home with her cat and drink the Starbucks gift cards I've sent her. So that's what she would do.
Yeah. Don't send her any more gift cards. She's
yeah.
But no, you have an amazing kid. The fact that she's so willing, the fact that she wanted to come do this is pretty amazing too at seven, because to put yourself, you know, in front of a few hundred people, that's not easy. So
she kept asking, when is the interview with Justin on TikTok? When am I going to sit down with him? And I'm like, honey, I love you and you could do it, because she's very well spoken. She's so smart, but like emotionally and mentally, I don't know what that, you know, because like, even for me, I went from, you know, just liking and saving and being a creep on TikTok to having all these people commenting and following and blowing it up. And I was like, my head, I don't know how people do this.
Yeah. It's a lot, but you get used to it.
Yeah.
I guess.
Maybe. Well, I like that for you.
Well, I guess I like it for me too, because I'm doing it. So I have to like it, but also, you know, the way I look at it, and I told you this on the phone, I have a big platform and we like to use it to amplify voices.
Yes. So. And again, thank you. I won't keep you. I know you probably have to go to bed or something, or, you know,
I got to do another live after this. So,
oh man. Well,
it's sub live.
Thank you so much, Justin. Bye.
Have a great night. Bye.
You too.
So for everybody else real quick, just to let you know, tomorrow night, we are going to have on the mother of the Franklin, Kentucky girl. Let me show you all this real quick if I can. Just kind of little. I'm going to give you all a little trigger warning. This is blurred. Hold on. This is, well, no, I got rid of it accidentally. So I'll show you tomorrow. But basically, this girl was beat very hard. She's got autism, was picked on for having autism, and targeted for that. So we're going to do that. And then again, for the topic that we had tonight, that is exactly why I wrote this book. You can pick this up at justinontiktok.com or the TikTok shop. And I can personalize it if you put in the comments who you'd like me to address it to, like if you have a child. But again, I'll just show you real quick. This question right here. At the end of this book, it says, can you think of some things you should tell a trusted grown-up, even if someone asked you to keep it a secret? But when I did this with my four-year-old, before I even had illustrations, before I sent it to be illustrated, we had a 35-minute, 40-minute conversation about some of the stuff that's happened to her at school because she wanted to tell a trusted adult, and we empowered her. And then it gives you some jumping-off points so you can have age-appropriate conversations. So that's why I wrote it. Anyways, I appreciate everybody tuning in. You guys have this email right here. You have your homework. You know what to do. And I hope you guys have a great night. And I will see y'all tomorrow.